Hello everyone, welcome to Design Your Life Podcast. This is Dennis C. Today, we are going to hear a message that I gave to the church about keys to your healing. Some of you might be going through some physical ailment, disease, and you're saying, what will I do to get well? I do hope that this podcast and this talk that I gave to our church at Victory Makati would inspire you to hold on to the promises of God so that you can find your healing. Here is the episode, Keys to Healing. God bless you as you listen to this message.
And the past 7 weeks has been a journey for me. If there's one takeaway from all these experiences that I had the past 7 weeks is that most of my preaching I need to apply, right? Because it was really hard when you are at that moment of sickness and pain. And we were preaching about the miracles of God, how God won't work in a formula. And I tried the formula. I was disobeying my own preaching, right? And I was praying the prayers, saying everything. I remember there was a night I couldn't really move, not even an inch. And I said, Lord, I preached John chapter 5, where Jesus told the invalid, rise up, take up your mat and walk. So this is around 1:30 a.m. So I go, Lord, I will visualize you are in front of me. I was lying down on the sofa and I saw the Lord. And the Lord says, Dennis, rise up, get up your mat and walk. Okay, maybe that's not for me tonight. Okay, so I tried to apply the verses, but I couldn't apply it and I really couldn't move. And later on, I'll tell more of the stories, but I believe God has a word for us this morning. I know many of us, I think all of us, we've experienced sickness or we know somebody who's been sick. And some of us, we've been struggling with certain illnesses and disease. And I feel like God has a word for us this morning. Why won't we bow down our heads and pray? Father, we thank you. Lord, that even today, we get to be in church and be with community. Lord, there are many things we neglect in life, whether it's a rising up, going to church, meeting people, finding friends, having fellowship. Lord, I pray that we would appreciate the most simple things in life. Lord, even as we've been preaching on the extraordinary days are ordinary days for God's people. Lord, that even in our mundane days, God, we would see your goodness, your grace, your power, moving in our lives. And even as we study your word this morning, I pray that it would come alive, touch our very spirit and soul, so that it would minister to us, touch us, and Lord, shape us towards the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen. We talk about this year when we started that extraordinary days are ordinary days for God's people. When the doctors look at my case, right? My case was called arachnoiditis, which means you don't just get it anytime. You either have a post-spine surgery trauma or you got knife in the back, sa spine. So how come it was there? They say it was an extraordinary case. No? So it was another extraordinary day for me. Okay, and I didn't know how it happened. I was really healthy and I said, Lord, what is happening? We just moved to Discovery. We're under negotiations with Circuit. Lord, things are going well. This was my best annual physical exam this year after more than a decade. And I knew I was at my best health and this happened. Lord, what is this about? Right? And we knew at the time, in spite of certain doubts and fears, this might get worse or this might be like that. You know, when they were starting to give me some tests, whether it's going to be cancerous or an autoimmune disease that would paralyze you for life. Oh, okay, this is really extraordinary. No? When I was having my brain undergo MRI, oh, this could be deadly, huh? I thought it was back spasm, right? So I knew that there was something that God was trying to do, or maybe God was I didn't know. There were a lot of people say, oh, maybe God wants you to rest. I said, no, I don't think God wants me to rest this way, you know, because I'm not rested. So I don't think that's the case that God wants me to rest. I'm restless now, right? So it could be something else, and I didn't know. But all I knew is that we have to stand on the Word of God. And that's why I had to go back to my preachings this year. Lord, you said in your Word, it's like this. You said in your Word, it's like this. Lord, I don't know what to do. But all I knew was that extraordinary days are ordinary days for God's people. And today I want us to look at a text that in many ways speak to all of us when it comes to people who might experience hardship, sickness, disease, that you couldn't even, you know, sometimes you really couldn't understand why things are happening. And that's why I want us to look at this text, find some best practices here in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. It says there, on one of those days, just another day in Jesus' life, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Okay? The writer was setting us up towards this teaching that Jesus was about to make in a demonstration of God's power, that he noted that Pharisees and teachers of the law from every barangay and towns went to observe and find an error in Christ. There was going to be a showdown that was about to happen. Yet the Bible says the power of the Lord was with him to heal. We would see here, just the first truth out of the scripture is that God is able to heal. When you start questioning, Lord, will you heal? Lord, I could not even. Lord, I don't know this sickness. Doctors are baffled. Is God able to heal? Those are good questions to ask. Lord, are you able to really heal? How come all the tests would tell us that this is something that's incurable or doctors couldn't even find the origin of this sickness? But you have to understand, God is able to heal. Almost all New Testament sickness were of unknown origin, and God was able to heal, or incurable diseases like leprosy at the time. But God was able to heal. And so as he was there teaching, the Pharisees were sitting down, and the Bible says God's power was there to heal because God was about to demonstrate something. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. Now, there was this guy who couldn't move. Sounds familiar to me, you know? This guy couldn't move, and he has friends, minimum of four, holding the stretcher. And they told him, we have to go and see Jesus. Now, this text has come alive for me. And if there's one pastoral compassion that was built in me for the past 7 weeks is this. I now feel for everyone with back pain. I know what you're going through. Okay? Kasi if you're young, di ba? Salon pas lang yan. Okay. But it's different when you couldn't move. Right? And now, so, you know, sino yung mga ka-text ko sa hospital? My uncle and aunties who are really old. Uncle, I know how you feel now. Right? Those with cancer sa back, you know, I would text them. Now I know how, because they would ask, how are you? I saw your picture. You couldn't move just like me. Yes, batchmate. Okay, right? Almost everybody I was talking to was 60 and above. And they were saying, hey, I saw your picture. Now I feel. Now I know how it feels when you couldn't move. Right? I have compassion for athletes with back pain and slip disc. Next naman, athlete, no? Okay. Wow, it is so hard even to move. You know, just Tammy going to our bed and the bed would move would make me shout. Ah, don't touch the bed. It's really painful. And that was where I was 7-8 weeks ago. I couldn't move. It would take three people to bring me up so that I could go to the bathroom. It was that hard. Now, Tammy was able to do that for 2 weeks alone. Buti na lang, I'm only 130 pounds, right? So, okay, joke lang yan, okay? Some of you believe, I love you guys. So, yeah, to be able to move, not move, and it would take three people to lift me up on the bed was like Lord, I couldn't even imagine being on this stage. Yet, he had friends who said, you have to go to Jesus. We will find a way. We will bring you to Jesus. And maybe that guy, especially if he's Pinoy, would say, right? I cannot move. Never mind. No, no, we have to bring you to Jesus. No, no, ayoko mag-doktor. No, 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 no. Right? And they would say things. Yet the friends maybe forced this guy. No, we will bring you to Jesus. You have to believe that you can be healed. And in verse 19, it says, but finding no way to bring him in. So they brought him, maybe on a stretcher. Because of the crowd, the house was full. And here was this guy on a stretcher. They couldn't bring him in. There was no way. It was full house. The usher was saying, no, no entry. No, but we have to bring him in. So they went up on the roof of the house. By the way, the roof at the time was flat. It was not like this. It was flat. And there were tiles that you can take out. But of course, that's not your house. So it's still trespassing. No? And it's bad to do that. Right? They went up on the roof and removed some tiles to make an opening and lowered him through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. These friends were relentless. No way. There is a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways you cannot see. Let's go to the roof. Okay. And they started destroying the roof to bring their friend down to be in front of Jesus. Imagine Jesus preaching and then, oy, what's happening? Right? Bumaba, di ba? Went down. Ooh. What you see here is that you need everybody. I'm not talking to the friendly ones here or those with a big network of friends. Everyone. We need family, friends, church community who would contend in the faith with you. You know why there's hospital chaplains and pastors and nuns? Because many people, they never get any visitors. Nobody contends the faith with them. In the darkest time, they're fighting alone. And they would hear voices of doubt. And they would hear voices that God doesn't care. And you're about to die. Or you have cancer even though you have not. But there's no friends, family, or church community who would contend in the faith with you. Sometimes you have friends and family who would not contend the faith with you. They would actually be the one to say, maybe nga, you're gonna die. But you need people who would fight the faith with you, not quack doctor relatives, okay? Just like all of us, no? We self-medicate. We're all doctor quack quack. Right? But really people who would say, I don't understand. I don't care what the doctor says. I'm going to pray with you. Do you have those people who would fight with you, contend in the faith with you? And you do that not when you're sick. You do it when you're healthy and strong. You have to build deep relationships so that in the darkest moments of your life, you don't just get a pastoral visit. You get visit from friends. Yeah, one of the things I don't like with the job of a pastor is that if I don't know someone and then they call me pastor, you have to come here already. And the person on the bed sees me and we don't have any relationship. The first question a Filipino will ask is, when will I die? Because you called the pastor already for the last rites. Diba? Para, ayan yung pinakaayaw ko, lalo na if it's in the, you know, ICU, you know, and you go there, you don't know the person, and they, who's this Chinese guy with a Bible, right? Is God going to take me already? You don't want just pastoral visits. You want friends who would contend in the faith with you. Right? So many people visited us in spite of hospital rules, which means Christians really disobey. No? You're only allowed two visitors please count the picture. Jethro is there. Okay? You guys broke the rule. So now Cardinal has two guards, one in the stairs and one in the elevator. For room 541, okay? Hot room, okay? Disobedient people. Okay. Makati are the most disobedient people. The guards were chasing them. What room? What room? All of them. Did not talk to the guards. Okay? Okay. So, grabe mga taga Makati. All right. Not only who will contend with you, but who would speak faith over your situation. People who would say, we are believing with you. We're praying with you. People who would speak life over you. You know, now, learning experiences. It doesn't really help if you're not a medical doctor and you tell your friend who's sick or a relative and go the worst case scenarios. It doesn't help. Why? Number one, you're not an expert. You also Googled it like me, right? And you really could not explain. So, the best thing to do is really to pray in faith and say, I am believing God for your healing. Who would speak faith over your situation. Who would say, I'm standing with you. I'm praying with you. You know, the messages that we received during those times were so uplifting, right? There were a few discouraging ones, but there were maybe 99% uplifting, faith-filled messages that made us hold on to the promises that God can heal people who would pray without ceasing. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. Some people, not even for victory. We're praying for you. We organize a prayer group for you, Pastor. Who are you? I don't know who you are. But they would pray and pray and wrestle with the Lord. People would pray without ceasing. I really want to honor and thank our prayer team who prayed for me, who fasted, because we also didn't know the situation. We would have people call, Pastor, what do you like to eat? I don't like to eat. Can you just pray for me? Because I couldn't even eat. It was so painful. All I needed was prayers, right? You don't have to visit, pray. But they still visited and broke the rule, by the way. So you pray. People who you would find, who would find a way to bring you to Jesus. These are the kinds of people that you need in your life. People who would say, no, we have to bring you to Jesus. You stop that negative thought that you have. You stop that self-defeating mindset, that attitude of doubt. Stop it. We'll bring you to Jesus. Do you have those friends? Could carry you on a stretcher, find a way to bring you in when everybody says, there is no way. You have to have those friends. Your assignment after this is to start building relationships with people who would be that to you in the darkest moments of your life. Don't just call me out of the blue. Have others in your life who can run, pray, wrestle, intercede with you on those moments. You know, we're designed to have spirit-filled, Jesus-centered relationships around us. Because you can't fight this alone. Right? We couldn't. If it's just me and Tammy, I don't know. But we had hundreds of friends that we really know, aside from the Facebook people and IG people. TikTok, nobody messaged me. All right. And said, we're praying for you, we're praying for you. It's different when they come and they really stand with you in prayer. You're designed to have that. Do you have that in your life? Who are those people? Not talking about ministry friends, huh? Oh, part of my kids' church team. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your buddy in volunteer ministry. I'm talking about deep friends. You're designed to have that. Do you have those? Then this year, start to build deeper. Because I'm telling you, at the darkest moments when even doctors don't have an answer, you're going to hold on to your community of faith, the people that you built deep with, and say, I need to have those people with me. You know, for 7 Sundays, I did not attend church service. But I had church 24/7. Church was there 24/7. And I'm not just talking about Victory Makati, friends from Victory Green Hills, family members who were with me, people who prayed, people who visited, people that, you know, said, oh, we're not close, you're here. Wow, thank you. I had church, right? When we went home, we had church at home. I couldn't come here. They came there, again, unannounced, right? But that's church. You know, in our heart of hearts, Tammy and I were praying, I do pray and hope that people would experience this. This is church. Not just the liturgy of a worship leader leading you, sacraments, communion, preacher comes up and preach, and then we say goodbye. But friends, a lot of people don't have that. Imagine you could be in church for 10 years, spending, investing hours of your life. Could be 2-3 years of your life combined, but never really building that deep, not having the 4 friends who would do and find a way to bring you to Jesus. So when Jesus was preaching, the stretcher was put down, the Bible says this, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven. He was so amazed. He was doing a sign, but he wondered in awe. Wow, man, your sins are forgiven. Jesus saw their faith. Would Jesus see that in us? Jesus saw their faith. You could hear faith stories, but have you seen faith in action? That man and woman of God has faith. I am amazed. There was another instance where Jesus was amazed for their lack of faith. That's why he did not do a few signs and wonders only in his hometown and left. He was amazed because they had no faith. This one, he was amazed because of his faith. Here's what I realize, that in the darkest times of your life, the deposit of the Word of God comes out. I can't hold on to the results of the test. It was really bad. I need to go deeper to the deposit of the Word of God that was put in me, that my God heals. Right? That one day I could say, I could hear the Lord saying, get up, take up your mat, and walk. I needed to go back there. I needed to fight it with the Word. I need to fight fear and sickness with the Word of God. When you can't move and you feel like you're 99 years old, what do you do? There was nothing I could do. I was taking 3 pain meds. I was hallucinating at night. Good experience, by the way. Okay, but... it's like, whoa, ganito pala ang addict. Okay. The meds were so strong. I was floating around. I was painting. I was doing many things. Cartoon characters would come out. I would talk to them. It's like, wow, what is this? Right? It was that strong. But I couldn't move. I could only blink. Oh, okay, that was a dream. All I could do was fight it with the Word of God. First time in an MRI, it was loud. And because my back was so painful, I needed to be there 30 to 40 minutes, something I could not do. I said, Lord, you have to sustain me, or else they would repeat the MRI and it will last an hour to 2 hours. Lord, I cannot move. So the order is, if you go in, you cannot move. You can only press if you cannot take it anymore. I was praying Psalms 23. I repeated it maybe 10 times, because some of the lines I forgot because of the noise, which means I haven't memorized it really well. I did the Lord's Prayer, right? I did what the deposit of the Word of God in my heart, the Lord is my shepherd, I should not want. You know, I was praying, our Father, Lord in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom. I was preaching John 10:10 to myself. I was doing everything so as not to move. It was like fighting with all the fears and the doubt that I could not sustain this. Fight fear and sickness with the Word of God. John 6:68, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of life. I need to speak it over my life, over my back. I speak life over this body, Lord. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Oh, one of my favorite verses for the past few weeks, when I walk like a 95-year-old man. In him we live and move and have our being. Lord, I speak life over my body, over my back. Lord, you said, in Christ, I live. I move even though I cannot. And I have my identity and my being as a human because of Christ. Lord, I speak this over my life. If you look at the New Testament and study the pattern of Jesus' ministry, he would proclaim the message of the kingdom of God and he would demonstrate it. He would proclaim, he would demonstrate. He preaches, then he heals. He preaches, then he heals. The preaching of the word. And that's why you need to have the deposit of the word of God in you. Imagine you're not reading the Bible. What will you declare when you can't move? Ding 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 da. What will you proclaim? Twinkle twinkle little star. How could you be sustained without any comforting and powerful words from the scripture? Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Proclaim, then he demonstrate. Proclaim, demonstrate. Another, Matthew 4, Jesus went to Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Luke 9, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Sometimes we forget the power that God has given us. Lord, you have the ability to heal, and you commission us to proclaim the kingdom and to heal the sick. Speaking those words, I was already excited. But some of the results that was needed would come out after 4 to 6 weeks. I felt like I was about to be discharged, no more pain, around 10% pain in the back. I was already walking around doing my rehab. And then the doctor texted us one night. My cousin was there, Tammy was there. And the doctor says, plot twist. One of your tests came out positive. It's called the Ana test. Kaya kay Ana, ako napatingin. All right? Ana test. You got it, ha? Okay. The Ana test is a screening test whether you have autoimmune or not. And this was the test. It says they're positive plus 2. My blood was diluted 160 times and they still saw something. The normal dilution is 60, and if it's normal, you're good. If it's 80, it's high. Mine was times 2. And then it says there, it's speckled. I said, what's speckled? Well, special, speckled. Right? So I didn't know. I tried to Google it. Tammy was saying, do not Google. I said, I need to consult my doctor. Okay. What is this, right? So my infectious doctor and my neuro doctor came in. Both have the same. They were chill doctors, by the way. They were not the doomsday doctors. But they said, oh, your test is high. What does it mean, doc? We don't know. Hopefully it's a false positive, but it's high. Then my neuro said, and it's speckled. I was looking in the face. I didn't know what that means. It's speckled, speckled. So because I submit to my wife, I did not Google speckled. Right. I didn't know what that was until Tammy told me later, speckled means not only is your anatest high, speckled means there's only two possible routes for that test. Either you have the lupus, which is Chris Aquino's disease, or another one, which is for kids. So most likely it's not the one for kids. Now, when I got this test, my cousin was there of all the days. And my cousin had a brother who has lupus. So when the doctors asked, do you have a history in your family of lupus? Yung cousin ko, alis ka dyan. Okay. We had. And lupus happens to 9 out of 10 women, never to men. Rarely does it happen to guys. And in our family, my cousin, who's a male, has lupus. I said, oh my Lord, I was so down. You know when your heart goes down, right? I got messages from people who had lupus. I saw that you were positive in your ANA test. One of my friend, pastor, actually walks this way already. So I was imagining things already. God, please, no. Lord, 5 minutes into my pity party, and I was parang, alam mo yung parang sinuntok ka, yung the energy was, oh God, plot twist. What a plot twist. Speckled, extraordinary again. 5 minutes into this being texted to us, one of our members, who I'm not close with, just texted, the Lord said, in Tagalog, sabi niya, sabi ni Lord, gagaling ka. Lord said, you'll be healed. Why? Out of the blue. We've never messaged each other. None. So I had to reply, are you prophetic? Because I need a prophetic voice now, right? Who would tell me I'll be healed. I said, no. She said, I'm not. But there's just this urging in me. And I just had to text you. I said, you just don't know the timing of this text. Because it was like, I had no more energy. That text put me to sleep. By the way, when I'm stressed, I also feel sleepy. So, slept like a baby that night. All right, because, you know, Lord, it's in your hands. If this is going to be, it's going to be. Right? And I remember a text in scripture in Isaiah 53. It talks about the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And it started with this, who has believed our report. I have a report in my hands. Most likely, I have lupus. Most likely, autoimmune. It's gonna scar me for life. I don't know if I can even be a pastor after this. Right? This was the, like, Lord, I've seen the effects of this. Right? This is like a million a year medications. There's no way that I want this, Lord. In fact, our rheumatologist came in. I had 10 doctors, by the way. That's how special I am, right? And the doctor says, out of my 20 years of medical experience, only two cases are like yours, that's male. That's why, you know, when she said that the next day, I said, yes, I have a slim chance of having this. You know, I was trying to hold on to any hope that it's not going to happen to me. Whose report will you believe? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was talking about Jesus. He says, whose report will you believe? I have a prophecy that there is this Savior who will save us. Whose report will I hold on to? This Anates or Isaiah 53? Lord, I'm holding on to you because Isaiah 53 tells me Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. We turn our backs on him and look the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. Lord, I need you to carry me tonight. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for what? Our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Lord, I hold on to that. I don't care what theologians would say, if it's a physical healing or a spiritual healing. I'm holding on to whatever interpretation of that text is. I need Isaiah 53 now. I don't need salvation. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. Lord, I need your healing now. Lord, I hold on to your word. This is the report I will believe. So last week was the moment of truth. We went back. We had to get our test that was shipped somewhere else and had to go back to the hospital. And this is the report. Everything was negative. There was no autoimmune disease. That was the only time Tammy told me, okay, this was your case and this is what's going to happen with the speckled one. So when we saw it was all negative, it was like, oh Lord, thank you so much. You know, we were able to breathe properly. I wanted to go out already and go to Glorieta. Okay. But I could not. Okay. But whose report will you believe? When things are going really bad, and I'm not just talking about sickness or disease, whatever you're facing, whose report will you believe? The 10 spies who said, no, we cannot, it's too big, the giants are too big. Or Joshua and Caleb who said, no, this is the promise of God. We fight. When there's a promise from God, it doesn't mean it just falls into your lap. You fight the good fight of faith. You confess the word. You change your thinking. You bask in the presence and the power of God and say, Lord, no, 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 no. I will move in an attitude of faith. I will fight, Lord. Because people are fighting for me. You are fighting for me. Lord, I will fight. Whose report will you believe? And now look what happened. When Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven. The scribes and the Pharisees, here's the showdown, began to question saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? How could he say your sins are forgiven? As if. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? What's the number one doubt you have in your mind when you're sick or something bad happened to you? Lord, what did I do? Lord, maybe I did something. It actually had that moment, maybe around 3 minutes in my mind. Lord, what sin did I commit? That's why you place it here. Then what happened? And when we started sharing this, even on social media, a lot of people message us saying, that was my same thought. Lord, what sin did I commit to deserve this sickness? Maybe I did something. Sa Pilipino, na karma ako. Di ba parang bumalik? Maybe I disobeyed you, that's why I'm sick. But I want you to understand this. No good father, especially the Heavenly Father, would say, right? If Jethro disobeys, huh? Ganun, ha? Bigyan kita cancer bukas. Is that a good father? The very nature of God would not do that. So it's kind of hard to even imagine that line of thought. And I had to fight that legalism, that Pharisees, because during the time it was a major issue. That's why there was a question, di ba, one time, who sinned? His parents or that guy? The Lord says, nobody sinned. It is for the glory of God that he would be healed. And I knew at the time it was not sin. But the Pharisees were thinking, how could he forgive the sin and heal the guy? So Jesus was saying, what's easier to say? Go, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. What was Jesus trying to address? Jesus was saying, I could heal both your soul and your body. I know, real talk, that if you experience a miracle, it does not automatically equate you'll be closer to God. Am I right? Many of us, when we were sick, Lord, if you make me well, Lord, I will really commit everything to you already. Lord, magpapastor na ako, Lord. I will give this amount of money. And then you got healed and you forgot. And you forgot. Not only your promises to God, but God himself. Miracles don't equate to you being closer to God. But Jesus is saying here, that's why I not only heal, I forgive sins. Isaiah 53 was what? I was bruised for your sins. I heal your disease, body and soul together. Jesus is in the business, and that's why it was prophesied that I operate this way. I don't want you just blessed and healed. I want your soul saved. I want your soul healthy. Because you can experience healing. We all know Lazarus rose from the grave, but he died again. All of us will die again. Right? I'm healed now, but I know one day I'll die. What's important is what? The soul. Jesus is saying, I healed both the body and the soul. Jesus can heal both. Luke 5, Isaiah 53. In fact, you read the Old and the New Testament, you will see, package deal si Lord. I want to heal holistically. Not just your spirit, but also your body. Not just your body, but also your soul. And look at this in verse 26. And I pray this will be a response. An amazement seized them all. And they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. Two words that most of us in this room, we forgot. And this is my prayer this week, actually. Amazement and awe. We're talking about signs and wonders. We keep talking about the signs, never the wonder. To be in awe is to be like a child. Right? Oh, Mickey Mouse. Oh, so nice. Oh, so big. Amazement. That's where what? Life flows. When you live in wonder and awe of this God. Tammy was saying, you haven't shared your deep thoughts during your hospital stay. Seko, it never went through my mind that I was gonna die. yung pala sa kanya, it came a few minutes while taking a bath. What if Dennis dies? I didn't thought of that. But I did think about cancer and autoimmune, but not death. You want me to die? I have insurance. Okay, no, but you know what happened during those times? When I would see her lie down on the sofa, bed, wow, she can do that. I can't. When I would see older people walk, wow, I want to do that also. Everything was like, when you wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you, I'm alive. When I started feeling less pain, started moving again, it was in awe and wonder. Right? When I saw my wife helping me every night, every day, stuck with me, awe again. Honeymoon stage, in love. Grabe sacrifice nito for me. Short of saying, I want to be sick forever just to be with you. Parang ganun, but you don't want, of course. Right? It's just the power of that love and you're in awe again. To come here in church, I couldn't do the 9 because I have antibiotics at 9 for an hour. But to come here, 11 a.m., in awe. Not thinking about deadlines, would the church be full? What will happen? Will the preaching be boring? No, just in awe of, wow, I can go to church again. You have to go back there. When the people were amazed and in awe, they saw something the Pharisees could not. Because they never go into a state of wonder. It's always off. Maybe I sin. Maybe I need to do this for God. Maybe this. That's what we fight. To be in that state of wonder, say, wow, God, you are amazing. You are a healer. Right? In fact, the hardest questions I had to ask the Lord is, what if I had autoimmune? What if I had cancer? Will I be in awe of your goodness? Will I, you know? Will you be? It's a test that we all go through. I want you to think hard and wrestle with the Lord. Because you know, God's mercies, grace, power, healing is new every morning. He is my sustainer. Because I don't know how long I'll be here on earth. You don't know how long you'll be here on earth. But all we know is this God is able to heal. But please, don't just go for healing of the body, the healing of the soul. Find friends who will fight the good fight of faith with you. Can we all bow down our heads and pray? Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, may we see your hand in the everyday. Lord, even as the world looks at highlights and Instagrams and perfect pictures, may we see you in the mess and in the chaos. May we see you in the pain and the sickness. May we see friends, church, community, who's fighting the good faith with us. And Lord, may you see faith in us. Jesus, teach us to embrace the beauty and the simplicity of the message of the kingdom of God. You want us to have good relationships. You want us to have a healthy soul. You want us healed and to have a healthy body. May we receive that today, God. And Lord, if we struggle with this, Lord, remove the blinders that we have. The same blinders that blinded the Pharisees. Because they couldn't see, they could not be amazed and be in awe of what you're doing.
or remove that. Let us hear the voice of God and not the voice of the Pharisees and the law and of condemnation, but the voice of God's grace and power and mercy and healing. Also want to pray for those who are sick today. If you're sick and you're saying, God, I need healing, I want you to lift up your hands and I want to pray for you this morning. Just lift it up high. We're going to believe God for your healing. We're going to speak words of faith. Lord, you said in your word, whose report have we heard? Lord, even when doctors are baffled, you are the ultimate healer. And you are saying, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. He is our healer, our Jehovah Rapha. Holy Spirit, bring supernatural healing over my brothers and sisters today. Lord, we declare this is a year of miracles. And that when there are things that are unexplained, that's where the miracle happens. Lord, many times we're faced with problems, Lord, that are beyond us. And there are problems, Lord, that, you know, we can solve on our own. But sometimes we neglect holding on to you, the sustainer of our faith, of our strength, and of our life. Today, God, make us dependent on you, just like a child. To be dependent on you, knowing that you move, you heal. And so today, Lord, bring healing upon your brothers and sisters today. Lord, I pray today, Lord, whether it's physical, it's mental, or spiritual, we command every sickness and disease to leave our bodies. And we declare supernatural healing to flow upon us. Lord, we declare your word, in him we live and move and have our being. Lord, we will move again. We will dance again, Lord. There will be supernatural energy that flows in our bodies. And today we receive that healing. Today is our day of miracle. God, come. Jesus, come. Heal. And Lord, I pray for one more thing. One of the most critical things that we need to have in our lives. Those friends. And Lord, I know those friends are just there. But Lord, may we be willing to open doors for deeper friendships, for deeper covenant friends that would go beyond ministry, that would go beyond volunteerism, that would go beyond assignments, but deep friendships where we can say, this is church. Lord, we thank you, God. I pray, Lord, that even as you send those people, open my life. Holy Spirit, make me vulnerable so that I could experience the richness of those relationships that we have been talking about for the past 4 weeks here, that we are designed for godly relationships around us. Lord, we thank you. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen, amen. Let's give God a big hand. Can we all stand up? Let me just bless you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we stand in awe of you. Lord, today, may we live in wonder and amazement because our God is faithful. May we see God in the simple everyday things, not neglecting your grace and mercy that is made available to us. And Lord, even as we're sent out into the world, may we be salt and light. May the presence of God be with us today and this week as we minister. Let our conversation, Lord, be seasoned with salt so that people might experience life that is in Christ. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen, amen. All right. God bless you. See you again. If you need prayers, we're here to pray for you. Our pastors, our campus missionaries are here. If you need prayer for healing, just come forward. We'll pray for you.